everybody, and welcome to another edition of the Southern Fried Podcast, a production of the Arkansas Democrat Gazette. I'm Rex Nelson, Democrat Gazette senior editor, and for a second straight show, just because we can't shut up in 30 minutes, we were here a couple of weeks ago, the Arkansas education expert, Superintendent of the Marion School District, Dr. Glenn Fenter. Welcome back. I'm glad we can continue our previous conversation.
I'm not sure that there's any opportunity to do anything otherwise.
Exactly.
they're interminable.
Just too much to discuss. Now, on the previous show, we kind of focused more than anything on the Arkansas Delta and how we break that cycle of poverty in the Delta. I really want to take this show statewide because we are 3 years in as a state to what Governor Sanders touted in her first year's office is the LEARNS Act. The biggest part of that is vouchers for Arkansas parents that they can use for private schools or homeschooling. But there was a lot else there. We're 3 years in now, I don't feel like we've heard enough from educators themselves. We hear from policymakers, obviously, because they're politicians on a daily basis, but we haven't heard enough from educators like you. So give me your overview 3 years in. What has the LEARNS Act meant for public education so far in Arkansas? Because not new anymore. We got 3 years of numbers out there we can start looking at now.
Well, as you and I discussed in another conversation, this is a very difficult transition for educators who lived during the Lakeview era when absolutely nothing occurred in education that did not meet that litmus test.
Right, and Lakeview, just to review for those of you listening who didn't live it like Dr. Fenter and I did, I was in the governor's office when it came down. This was a long-running case from a little district that was near Helena, Lakeview, actually two words, near Helena, that sued the state. This thing wound its way through the courts for years. And then in November of 2002, in one of the most wide-ranging rulings in the history of the Arkansas Supreme Court, our Supreme Court said that our method of funding public education, the first priority of state government, was unconstitutional. It was inequitable. And it was inadequate. Inequitable, we weren't spending it in the right places, in the right ways. Inadequate, we weren't spending enough. Long story short, we had the longest regular session in Arkansas history of the legislature in 2003. We came back later that year with the longest special session in Arkansas history. We had to deal with it again in the 2005 regular session because the court kept saying, you haven't done enough. You haven't done enough. They kept that gun to the legislature's head and the governor's head at that point. And so, as you said, for many years, everything revolved around Lakeview. Are we constitutional in the eyes of our Supreme Court?
And I think it's important to try to get some of the, there are a lot of people who take these conversations and immediately try to shove them into partisan categories. Your boss at the time, Governor Huckabee, a Republican, I thought did an admirable job of accepting that challenge.
And it was the entire focus of his last term, his last 4 years in office.
And my hat's off to him for pushing some of those conversations in ways that other governors may have not been willing to do at the time. I think there's a little bit of irony when you start talking about the process of the LEARNS Act, how long it took, the experts that were involved, the hours and countless professors, countless people with backgrounds that were very strong and rich in the process in terms of testimony, investment. It was a huge undertaking.
Mm-hmm.
Then we compare that to the 30-second blitzkrieg of passing the Learns Act.
Flew through the legislature in 2023.
By intention.
Yeah.
There are states that similar programs have been taken to the voters where they have failed miserably. And there is absolutely no shortage of data of the few states that are ahead of us in this process, where it is leading them basically to a financial cliff that no state was ready or prepared to deal with, all in the name of educational reform, but most of it primarily being driven by dark money politics, think tanks who are using this model to basically resegregate our communities and our state by race or either race or affluence or both.
I have written on numerous occasions, and I can tell you that nobody from the governor's office has called demanding a correction, saying you're wrong, but I have written on numerous occasions that the Learns Act basically, and this is what I think you're saying, basically was a product of out-of-state organizations.
Well,
We took a template. Yes. We took a template and stamped it here in Arkansas.
And that's exactly what happened. All you have to do is read some of the 2025 project, delve a little bit into the Heritage Foundation, a number of other think tanks who really believe that they have given up on public education, that they want to separate out a group of students for different educational experiences, who then have a reason, a rationale to be beholden to basically the party that's driving this change. And I've said it in a speech last week. I think there are two things that are pretty comparable. The Democrats keep hanging on to a broken welfare system.
Mm-hmm.
And our Republicans now have this gizmic of, well, let us take your kids, put them in a special place, get them away from the other kids you don't want them to be around. And we don't really care what you teach them. You can do whatever you think is best because parents know best, which bothers me a little in Arkansas. DHS processes something like, 5,000 cases a year where parents didn't know best. And then when you're talking about things like workforce issues, and we don't even know what these students are learning, there's, and the galvanizing force that public schools have been for our democracy, there's a lot of reason to be scared about what this is going to look like 5-10 years down the road, not just because of not having any control or understanding of what's being taught, but the cost of it. There's a big misnomer, as you well know. Well, this isn't costing Arkansas any money. We're just moving it from one pocket to the other. Well, I think at last count, 85% of the students that are being funded at this $7,000
rate. Oh, it's a huge percentage. Yeah. I was thinking like 88, yeah. But it's up high 80s.
They've never attended a public school.
No.
So they've never been paid for by anyone. So now that's brand new money. And so you're already at 350. It started out at less than 100 million. You're at 350.
We'll be over a half billion very soon.
For the state of Florida is at 1 billion.
Mm-hmm.
Now, Arkansans don't always get given the credit that they should. Arkansans are insightful. They don't like to be out-traded.
Mm-hmm.
They're very independent, and they certainly have a great deal of common sense. There's only so much money to go around.
Exactly.
And the largest, as you well know, the largest single component of our state's budget is in public education.
Mm-hmm.
So if that state's budget continues to have to redirect funding to an animal, whether you understand or appreciate what that animal's designed to do or will produce for our state, somebody's going to lose some money.
Yep.
Somebody's going to get cut.
Yep.
And it's already happening. It's mm-hmm. happening in Arkansas today. We're in the process of clawing back some salary stabilization money that was instituted prior to LEARNS. I know for our school district, it's going to cost us over a three-year period about $1 million. Well, at the end of the day, I don't know where I'm going to find that $1 million to replace that, and that's money that we had in salaries.
Mm-hmm.
So on one hand, we're raising salaries to $50,000 with the question of how it's going to be sustained long-term.
Yeah.
And then now we're taking money back already.
Mm-hmm.
So, and that's a very, very small example of what other states are going through. The thing that I think should be stressed is if you really want to know the truth about this, it's not hard to find. And if you want to really understand the impact it can have on Arkansas, just go look at the places where it's been in operation longer and see what those states look like.
Mm-hmm. And I am fair again in saying that career educators like you, and we've got some great ones around Arkansas, had virtually no input into the development of this bill, right?
None that I am aware of, and if it was superficial.
Mm-hmm.
Because, again, it is a template.
Mm-hmm.
It is a model.
It came from out of state, and yes, our legislature rubber-stamped it.
And as you know, at the time that that occurred, and I will give our legislators some additional credit, I believe they're asking more questions, and they have more concerns today, obviously, than they had the ability to have then, just simply because of the way it was moved through the process.
And shoved down their throats so quickly, yeah.
So they're starting to ask more questions, and I am proud of them for doing that. But it is the case that this is not about education. There's not a piece of this that is improving education for people with vouchers,
mm-hmm.
and it's certainly not improving education for people without vouchers because of the impact it's having on our ability to hire faculty, our ability to pay those faculty at a level that they deserve. I know in Eastern Arkansas, we're losing faculty every day.
Yeah.
You can come and work in our schools and have a lot of success, have great, great gratifying experiences, but you're often working with students who have a lot of challenges.
Mm-hmm.
Poverty is a wide-ranging, very misunderstood component of our region, and its negativity is underestimated. But if I have the opportunity to move to Cabot or Conway, I will not be asked to work with similar challenges, and I can actually be rewarded from the state for having elevated test scores.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not uncommon for teachers to make $10,000 a year more in those school districts than you can get paid in Eastern Arkansas. So why would you face the challenge for less money unless you have some ties or some connection to the region? So it's much more difficult for us to attract and retain quality teachers today than it was prior to the LEARNS Act.
Mm-hmm. I have tried to point out to my readers that I am not a knee-jerk opponent of the idea of school choice. I traditionally have supported public charter schools, for instance. Also, I went for 2 years, Glenn, and didn't write a word about the voucher program because I wanted to see how it worked. I suspected it would not work in a rural, poor state, and it has not. So that's when I came out against it. But I tell people, I said, like I said, they try to make it partisan, and I'm not a Democrat. I've worked for Republicans all my life, Republican president, Republican governor, Republican candidates.
They were the only ones who could afford you.
There you go. So it is not a partisan issue to me. I'm a fiscal conservative, and as a fiscal conservative, it drives me crazy. Because you can try to, like you said, confuse people with this moving money from here to here. But look, it's not that complicated. our tax dollars are one big pot. We have a state budget. It's all one big pot. We have more than $300 million a year now coming out of that pot. The vast majority of parents who are collecting that money already or homeschooling their children are already had them in private schools. They did not need the subsidy. So my bottom line is, all right, I'm going to give you the benefit of the doubt. I'm going to give the benefit of the doubt to those who pass this saying, we're going to help poor kids get a better education. I'm going to say that was your motive, mm-hmm. given the benefit of the doubt. We've been at it for 3 years now. It ain't working. It's time to pull the plug. That's where I'm coming from.
Well,
as a fiscal conservative.
Sometimes rhetoric is important, but there are oftentimes the old adage that a picture's worth a thousand words.
Mm-hmm.
I can provide you with a map that needs to be shared across the state that shows where these institutions are located.
Mm-hmm.
And what you see very quickly is that in places of the highest levels of poverty, the spread throughout the state of those institutions is remarkably different than it is in Central and Northwest Arkansas.
Absolutely.
So I'm a poor mother in what? Just pick it.
Mariana.
Yeah, Helena.
Yeah.
Okay.
I don't have the opportunities that those parents in Bentonville have. Yeah.
Right. And that was one of the fundamental issues back to the Lakeview case.
Yeah.
And again, as you and I have discussed, only in America, only in this era of America, only under this model of our cavalier president can it be acceptable to just completely ignore something that has been ruled in a Supreme Court as being constitutionally sound or that it is unconstitutional. Lakeview is the law of the day, and there is very little of what we're doing now that would meet that same test.
Absolutely. It is clearly. Now, the argument of whether the current composition of the Supreme Court would uphold that, that's another argument.
Absolutely.
But Lakeview, like you said, is currently the law until it is overturned. And what we are doing, in my mind, as somebody who worked in the governor's office, lived that case for years, day in and day out, what we are doing is clearly unconstitutional right now in Arkansas.
Well, it is, but it is the devil's always in the details. It's creating circumstances that I'm not sure we have anticipated, nor have we even remotely contemplated solutions for. What happens, number one, we don't know what these students are learning.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm sure in some of those private schools, they're receiving world-class education. But there's some other places that don't have that track record, that reputation, that tenure. They're fighting for talent as well to hire the right teachers and provide the right services. We have no idea what these students are learning. We have no idea what they will be prepared to be able to do when they matriculate through the system. If I was Northwest Arkansas and I knew that Springdale, that's considered to be one of their economic development engines, mm-hmm. has lost 1,200 students over the last 2 years, and many of their workforce training programs are being negatively impacted, I'd be asking the hard question, how is this helping us?
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
And so if it's that way in Springdale, there are a different set of problems in eastern and southern Arkansas that go back to the challenges, again, associated with poverty. But at the end of the day, if you are spending more money than you can afford to spend, and you're not sure what people are learning, and you're not willing to hold them really accountable, you're not requiring these institutions to provide transportation. I read a story last night, young lady who had moved her son to a different school, under school choice, private school,
mm-hmm.
and she was lamenting that, yes, the tuition's being paid, but I can't afford to feed him lunch every day. They're not required to offer the same free and reduced lunch
exactly.
programs that a state school would be. So, yes, while it says it's supposed to help poor people, that's really not what it's doing.
That's right. And you know me. I'm at a point in life, I don't know anything other than to be honest and tell the truth. In the area of the state where you are, the Delta, very few private schools compared to Central Arkansas and Northwest. And I just have to point out that many of those that do exist are the old, what we know as segregation academies,
mm-hmm.
which we've got a plethora of them on the Mississippi side of the river, too, of course. They play in the same athletic conference as those Mississippi schools, MAIS.
Mm-hmm.
Those were set up to allow white parents, when segregation came to an end, to allow their children to go to school. The majority of parents in the Delta are black parents, and you can say they have a choice, but no black parent is comfortable putting his or her child in a segregation academy.
No, and even if they were, getting them there would be a problem because they don't provide transportation.
No transportation.
Unless, of course, you happen to have a good jump shot or can carry a football in a hurry, and then strange things can happen.
Talk about being honest. Yeah.
Strange things can happen.
Yeah.
But it is – there is, as my children would say, this is just wrong at so many levels.
Mm-hmm.
And I am encouraged by people like you who continue to – keep that conversation going. I'm encouraged to hear more and more questions from legislators, but it's a big hill to climb, and I am hoping that there is a day in the very near future where sanity, common sense, and moral responsibility carries the day.
Yeah.
What we're doing right now is it is certainly unconstitutional, but it is morally wrong. We are spending money on people who don't need the money to appropriately educate their children. And like you, I can support school choice. I just can't support school choice when we are treating those choices
mm-hmm.
differently.
Exactly.
And this is one of those cases that's is about as blatant as any you could imagine or create.
Yeah. Now, we're talking about the private schools. There is the homeschooling part of this. And again, I'm going to be very direct here. I have heard tales, and you can tell me if this kind of thing is occurring, of where, you know, certain families are basically just wanting the payments, especially if they got multiple children, 4 or 5 children, school age, 5 or 6. So they are, quote-unquote, homeschooling their children to get those payments, and in essence, those children aren't getting any education. You think we're seeing some of that in Arkansas?
Oh, yeah. You're seeing lots of circumstances that on the surface no one would believe makes any sense.
Mm-hmm.
A larger version, one of the big challenges you have dealing with public schools in Arkansas is you never know what the weather's going to be like.
Mm-hmm. Good point.
For years, there was a program in place that allowed you to have an alternative learning program in place so that when those kids had to stay home, they couldn't get there because of the water or the snow or whatever, we could make certain that they were given an opportunity to have a packet of information or even through distance learning. Make that day up. Obviously, that went away.
Mm-hmm.
Said, well, those standards weren't good enough. Where you're not, every kid can learn, and they've got to learn every day. And all those mantras that are out there. The state is actually sponsoring a school district in my region, in Earl,
mm-hmm.
where the primary delivery method is through distance learning.
Mm-hmm.
So, it wasn't good enough to allow schools to make up a day, but now we can have a model that says
have a whole school.
And so those ironies continue to surface. There's a, inconsistency with the application of the logic that we want to apply, and for good reason. Not every circumstance, not every community is in the same set of reality, and you have to have the entrepreneurial opportunity and the resources to have a good plan and address those issues, just like we've discussed with pre-K.
Mm-hmm.
There's absolutely nothing that would change Eastern and South Arkansas's trajectory more rapidly than a universal pre-K program. It's extremely expensive. It's going to require a huge effort, but we could have taken this $300 million
a year would go a long way.
And that right at that 300 a year also would have given every Arkansas public school teacher a $10,000 raise, which would have made it easier to attract people to the profession. Right now, we're all struggling, wondering where 5-10 years from now this next layer of teachers is going to be coming from.
Yeah. We recently picked up an article from the New York Times and put it on the front of our perspective section here at the Democrat Gazette. It was by Nicholas Kristof, I'm going to read an email from a longtime state education official that you know. I won't name him here because I don't have his permission. But the perspective article from Nick Kristof really put our state education officials and legislators to shame in showing how three states with historically dismal education histories, and I'll interject, those were Mississippi, Louisiana, and Alabama that were featured in that story, which I know you read, have turned things around. They acknowledge the failures of the past and directly address them. We need some of this in Arkansas. We know what, in many ways, we know what will work, right? We've just got to have the resources to make it work.
The people who are charged with making the difficult decisions to invest the appropriate funds in the right ways know very little, in many cases, about the conditions that they are trying to solve. They may be well-intended, they may have a good heart, but they have no idea what the reality is. And if they did, I think they would come to the same conclusions that many of us have.
Mm-hmm.
There are ways to fix this. We just have to have the moral and political will to do so. One of the first things that when we were with the community college, I ended up in a relationship with Andy Stockland,
mm-hmm.
who was an old protege and assistant coach for Nolan Richardson
at the University of Arkansas. That's right.
Jackson State, played for the Harlem Globetrotters.
Right.
Was just one of these wealth of knowledge of living in the South during the toughest times you could have been an African-American athlete.
Mm-hmm.
His one of the wisest things I ever heard him say, he told me very early on, he said, "Doc, the most dangerous people are the folks who don't know what they don't know." And so we have good intention people often who just don't know what they don't know.
Yeah.
They make assumptions. They look at things. They look at a school and say, well, it's majorly African-American, so it can't be a good school. There can't be discipline. We've had representative after representative from the State Department of Education come to our school district and admit on the way out we had no idea what we were going to see, and this is as good. We had one of Arkansas's most prominent retired superintendents just a couple of weeks ago that did a lot of work for us advising on some curricular topics and things of that nature. She said, "All I can tell you is I'd put my grandkids in your schools."
Mm.
And she was Caucasian. She was not African-American, and she was emphatic. The point is, when we're talking about building billion-dollar prisons, when we've got overcrowding issues, and then I'm sure those are all real, the fastest way to change those things is to change how we educate folks,
mm-hmm.
and to change our expectation of what they will do with that education. It's a systemic change. It's a proactive investment that doesn't pay immediate results. But there's bodies of research that say that's the way out.
Yeah.
And we simply haven't been willing to do that. And some of the folks who I admire most in our last 20, 25 years in the leadership in Arkansas weren't willing to do it either.
Yeah. You know, I am reminded of going back to when I worked in the governor's office. You remember that our Department of Health director was the late Fay Bozeman, mm-hmm. brother of Senator John Bozeman. Both great men, by the way. Fay, though, had this wonderful line he used in every speech. And he said, you know, and he was talking about preventive care and changing health care. And you can take this to education. And he would say, I'm tired of sending ambulances to pick up people at the bottom of the mountain who have fallen off. Why don't we put a fence up at the top of the mountain to keep them from falling in the first place? And I think that's directly transferable to education. I think that's what you're saying in a sense.
I have many medical professional friends who explain to me often that our educational model, our model of funding and creating educational programming, is counter to how people deal with medicine.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you send your best doctors to the places with the sickest folks.
Yep.
We've got lots of issues. They're fixable. It takes talent. It takes money. It takes conviction. But they are fixable. And then there's a level of expectation that should be put in place at the end of that process that helps us make certain that these investments pay off great dividends.
I'll close with this, because we always run out of time too quickly, and we have again. But in what I consider, and I'm not going to put you on the spot, but what I consider a kind of dark time in our politics here in Arkansas, the bright spot you mentioned is at least now we've got legislators beginning to ask questions 3 years in. They're saying, this is not really what I thought I bought, and I might want to return on my purchase, if you will, from 2023.
I think if you looked at a map of where these models are proliferating and, mm-hmm. and growing, you will find clear evidence that it is designed to do just what we said. It is resegregating our communities by either race and our affluence or both. And there are hundreds of thousands of Arkansans who have no access to any of this.
Right.
And even if they live next door to one, if they have special needs, they can't be served.
Back to my earlier point. Rural, poor state, it just does not work statewide.
It does not. There are some places in Arkansas where it can work. But that
if it were just an urban area,
right,
an
that's
experimental
right. but
area.
But it doesn't mean that you take the rest of the state to pay for it.
Right.
And I think that's – and the states that are seeing – there again, that are further along are seeing only one thing, more people abusing it and the money going out the roof and no hope of ever understanding what they're going to be prepared to do to be productive citizens.
Right. Dr. Fenner, thank you. Always a pleasure.
Thank you, sir.
We'll
can't
get you
wait
back
till Friday night.
Yeah, we'll get you back soon.
Thank
Dr.
you.
Glenn Fenner, superintendent of the Marion School District. You've been listening to the Southern Fried Podcast, a production of the Arkansas Democrat Gazette.